In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate the memory of the holy hieromartyr Ignatius of Antioch, who was the third bishop of the city of Antioch, one of the great cities of the Roman Empire, and the seat of our patriarchate. So he is, from a long line back, the predecessor of our patriarch, John the 10th, I think, of Antioch. St. Ignatius, in fact, was among the earliest generation of Christians. According to tradition, he was the child whom Christ lifted up as an example to his own disciples, saying, if you wish to enter into the kingdom of God, you must become a child like this. So he lived in his childhood at the time of Christ and throughout his adulthood with the apostles. And then at the very end of his life, after he had served as the leader of the Christians in Antioch for some time, he was arrested and condemned to be martyred, condemned to death for his Christian faith. Today's epistle is appointed for St. Ignatius's memory. And I just might mention, for those of you who are very studious of your liturgical calendar, you might know that his actual feast day is tomorrow, December 20th. But whenever December 20th falls on the Sunday before Christmas, which of course it can, his feast is transferred to the Saturday before, because tomorrow, the feast of the genealogy of Christ or of the ancestors of Christ, sort of trumps and eclipses any other kind of commemoration that falls on that day. So the epistle that would normally be read on his feast day tomorrow is transferred to today along with his feast. It's this reading from Hebrews, where St. Paul urges the Hebrew Christians to remain steadfast in the face of persecutions. And it is chosen in St. Ignatius's honor because he presents us such a strong example of remaining steadfast in the face of persecution. So St. Ignatius was arrested and he was taken by the guards from Antioch all the way across the Mediterranean to Rome in order to stand trial and be executed. And along the way, he wrote seven epistles, seven letters to various churches and various individuals. And some of them, he was simply reminding them of the faith that they had been taught or trying to encourage a younger bishop. He wrote to a younger bishop to encourage him. We have these letters. And one of them he wrote is his epistle to the Romans. He sent ahead of himself as he was on his way to Rome in order to be martyred. And in this epistle, he urges the Christians in Rome not to interfere, not to interfere with his martyrdom. Some of the Christians in Rome might have had social influence or standing. They may have been able to intercede for him. But he urges them to let it be. He asks them, don't prevent me from getting to God. He asks them to leave him alone so that the lions, in this very memorable phrase, so the lions may grind his bones into flour so that he might become a pure loaf to be offered to God, drawing on Eucharistic imagery, so that he himself might present his life as a Eucharist to the Lord by offering it in martyrdom. He wanted to remain true to his calling to the very end. Now, when you read this epistle to the Romans, you might think, wow, like St. Ignatius had a death wish. And that's not the case. We know from his life that when he was first being hunted down in Antioch, as the authorities were rounding up Christians and seeking out, of course, their leader first and foremost, that he went and hid. He hid because the church teaches us we don't seek out martyrdom for its own sake, but we accept it when it comes. And so he hid, but the guards finally found him. And when they did find him, he actually welcomed them into the home and he served them some food. And then he went with them to his martyrdom. And he urged the Roman Christians not to intervene. We see in St. Ignatius's example what St. Paul talks about in today's epistle, about joyfully accepting the sufferings that come to us because of the name of Christ. Joyfully accepting them, since we know that we ourselves have a better and an abiding possession. Because of the promise of eternal life in Christ, all that is in this life pales in comparison and can be easily discarded. And so St. Ignatius pleads with the Roman Christians not to stand in the way of his getting to God and making that offering that he so treasured. Now, today's gospel reading is part of our preparation for Christmas. And in it, Christ tells parables about the kingdom of God. And the final one, the longest one, is this. He urges them to strive to enter by the narrow door. Many will seek to enter and will not be able to. And when once the householder has risen up and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us," but he won't. So what is that talking about? To strive to enter by the narrow door before it is shut and locked and there is no more chance of entry. He's talking about being diligent to use the time that's given us in this life, to enter through the door of suffering, the narrow door, which is small. It's not easy. It's difficult. To enter through that difficult door before either we die or Christ comes again and that door is shut. There is a given time for us to seek Christ, and it is this life. But so often, we are distracted by the things of this world. We have a worldly mentality, sort of like those Christians in Rome that might have intervened to prevent Ignatius's martyrdom. They think, well, he's our beloved father. We need to keep him alive. You know, he needs to see his grandchildren. He needs to finish writing his book, you know, whatever it is. Or we might even be less noble in our desires. You know, I need to pursue my own pleasures, my own desires, my own enrichment, my own fame. And we're so preoccupied with these things in the world that narrow door that we see open, we just sort of like ignore it. And we're doing our own thing. But we don't know when that door is going to be slammed shut. When that door is slammed shut, as Christ says, then everyone who has tarried and hesitated and neglected will all of a sudden be aware of their mistake. and they will plead with the householder, with God, let us in, let us in. You know, we know you. We came to church, he says. We ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. You know, we're one of yours. But God will say, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know where you come from. This is the time that we have to show Christ. Not simply to tell him, but to show him that we belong to him. By laying aside all those distractions in order to enter through that narrow door into his presence, to dwell with him, to be there so that when the door is shut, we're on the right side of the door. St. Ignatius gives us an example to follow. Our Lord gives us a vivid parable. Brothers and sisters, let us take heed. Let us set aside all worldly priorities and values so that we might experience the joy of Christ's presence eternally. To him be glory and praise, together with his Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.